So every once in a while, when I'm looking for an opening sermon illustration, I'll look around and I'll try to figure out something that ties in with the day, like the Super Bowl. But I was talking to Mrs. Hook earlier in the week, and we're talking about vocation. And so I was challenging her as a well-catechized Lutheran as to, you know, what is the most important vocation? So I asked her the question, what do you think is the most important vocation? And I knew that she would give me the right answer, which is that everything is an important vocation. But she said, early childhood teacher. And I said, well, what about being a pastor? And she said, well, early childhood teachers change dirty diapers. And I thought, you know, it's probably not wise to get into an argument with an early childhood teacher, especially when it's the mother of your children who probably changed 99.9% of all the dirty diapers. So I just left it alone like that. So I don't really have an opening sermon illustration for you. Sorry. We're talking about vocation. We're in this sermon series on vocation about how God gives us different tasks to do, and that no really vocation is better than any other vocation. And we're looking at that this morning. And we're going to talk about what vocation isn't. Last week we talked a little about what vocation is. This week we're going to talk about what vocation isn't. And to do that, I'm going back to our epistle reading this morning from Paul in Paul's letter to Galatians. And we're just going to start right there in verse 16, because Paul tells probably the most important part about vocation is right here in verse 16, where Paul says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. We're not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. And basically, that's what you need to know about vocation, because what is vocation? Vocation are the things that you do in your life, and they could kind of be considered as works. And Paul says you're not justified by the works that you do. You're justified by faith in Jesus Christ. And so the important thing is that what you do, God can bless. And you're not justified by the work you do. The vocation that you have does not grant you salvation with God. That's granted by faith in Jesus Christ and faith in Jesus Christ alone. So what you do as a vocation, as we said last week, as long as it's not unethical, immoral, or legal, God can use it as part of His kingdom. It's a wonderful thing. Now, this is different than how the world was at the time of Luther. At the time of Luther, there were two types of people. There were people who had followed what's called the holy orders. They were the ones who had kind of given up everything in life, and they followed an order, or they became a priest, or they worked in the church. And at Luther's time, those people were the ones that were following God. They were the ones who had this calling in their life, and the things that they did were pleasing to God. And then there were those people that were not that. They were everybody else, the people that worked kind of in secular careers. And if you were like Luther in that time, you would have said, these people are following God. They've got a vocation. These people really aren't following God. They're just kind of doing a job. Now, Luther turned that totally upside down. He said, actually, both of those things are following God. The one that is following the holy orders or is a priest or whatever, they're following God. But these people over here, just by doing the work that they're doing, are also following God. That God can use them in the work that they do to please God and to further humanity. And so both of them are what Luther would call his vocation. Now that was a ground-changing thing, because nobody had really talked like that before. Luther is probably the father of vocation. There was this thing called, it's called dualism, basically. You either followed God in your job or you didn't follow God in your job. There was this dualism going on, and Luther said, no. Both things can follow God. You can do both. Luther said this. The Christian shoemaker does his duty not by putting little crosses on the shoes, but by making good shoes, because God is interested in good craftsmanship. So there you have it. All you have to do is balance what it means to be a Christian, both inside and outside, and God can bless the work that you do. Now, a lot of people think that the work that pastors do is important work, that it is somehow more holy than any other work, and the fact is it's not. The work that I do, in a way, is a lot easier than the work that people who are not pastors do. I go to church and do my work. I go to the office, which is at a church, and I do my work. It is not hard for me to separate or to be able to live in my work world and in my pastor world because they're both the same world. But most of you, if not all of you, you come to church on Sunday and you get filled with God's Spirit and His love, and then you have to turn around on Monday morning and you got to figure out how God can use the gifts that He's given you in a secular world. And my friends, that can be a lot more difficult at times than what I do. In a way, what I do is kind of a cop-out. I get to talk about Jesus all the time. Some of you are not allowed to talk about Jesus in the work that you do. I remember years and years ago, I was at school in Tempe, at this school, and, all right, it was Arizona State University. Get it out. All right, so I was at Arizona State University, and I was a freshman in college, and I had taken Spanish, second-level Spanish. And the guy that taught the class was this old retiring guy, gray hair, atheist, and I had it in my craw that I was going to try to convert this guy to Christianity. And so I would go into his office to talk about Spanish, but I'd always work into the congregation about Jesus Christ, because this was my job, and I enjoyed that very much. And then he failed me. Because of that, I lost my scholarship to Arizona State University, so I ended up going to Seward the next year, which I enjoyed thoroughly, but Seward is a Lutheran college in the middle of Nebraska, and everybody there is Lutheran, and I missed the fact that I couldn't have these debates about Jesus Christ with non-Christians because there weren't any, at least that I could tell, that were in college. So the work that you do, God can use you for amazing things, probably far better than He can use me in the work that you do versus the work that I do, because you live in the world where you communicate and live with a lot of people who do not know Jesus Christ. So, there is no dualism. What Luther said was true. All work can be work that is pleasing to God, as long as it's not unethical, immoral, illegal. All right. The second part is this. Kind of follows from the first, and that is from verse 19, where Paul says, "For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God." So what Paul says is that when we die to the law, we live for God. Our whole entire life is living for God. So if there's no distinction between clergy and non-clergy in following God in vocation, then it kind of goes to show, or it follows, that there is no one particular vocation that is better than any other particular vocation. That all of it can live to God. Everything that we do, as long as it's not immoral, unethical, or illegal, we can follow God, we can serve God in the vocation that we have. There is no distinction. Now, I'm sure if you've ever talked to a college student, they go through this struggle in life. What should I do with my life? What career does God want me to do with my life? I remember asking that thousands of times when I was in college. Lord, just show me the career that you want me to do, and I'll do it. I just want you to show me. And so a lot of people take tests and exams and all that sort of thing. And we have this desire to please God. We want to do the career that we know that He can use us for, A lot of people think, okay, there's this one career, and if you follow this one career, God will bless you, but if you don't follow this one career, then everything falls apart. And so you get on the internet, I did this week, look and see, okay, how do you find a career that God's pleasing? And here's the way to look. This is what the one webpage said. If you want to know a God-pleasing career, number one, walk with God. Two, surrender your will to God's will. Number three, obey what you already know to be God's will. Four, seek godly input. Five, pay attention on how God has wired you. Six, listen to God's Spirit. And then answer these questions. What is the next step in my career? What is the next step in my ministry? What is the next step for my family? Number seven, listen to your heart. And number eight, take a look at your circumstances. Now, those are all great things, and I think you should do those types of things, but do not miss the point that there isn't necessarily one career that you have to do that God will bless you through, and all the rest of them God won't bless you through. God can bless you in any career, any of them. And if you miss out on this career, you know, 20 years later, go down a different career path. Who knows? People are changing careers all the time. But God can use you in almost any career. God can serve in any profession. It's not the work that you do, but the fact that God lives in you and you're living for God in the work that you do. And the last part is this, in verse 20, where Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It is Christ living in Paul that makes all the work that Paul does a great work. It's not necessarily Paul himself. It's the fact that Jesus Christ lives in Paul. A few years ago, I remember reading this article, and it was the Harvard Business Review, and they'd done a survey of leaders around in Fortune 500 companies. And what they wanted to know was what is the single most important characteristic of a leader that's leading a large company. And it turns out that the number one thing was humility. That if a leader can live and lead in humility, people will follow that person and the company, for the most part, will succeed. That was the number one thing. Now, if that doesn't sound like Jesus Christ living in you, I don't know what it is. Because if Christ is living in you and you follow the example of Christ, you're leading in humility. Today is what? Super Bowl Sunday. And whenever it's Super Bowl Sunday, I always think about Tim Tebow, right? Because Tim Tebow is the quintessential Christian athlete. There are a lot of people that like Tim Tebow. There are a lot of people that don't like. There's a lot of Christians that like Tim Tebow. There's a lot of Christians that don't like Tim Tebow. But what was the thing about Tim Tebow, right? Every time he made a touchdown, he would go in the end zone and he would do the Tebow kneel, right? And it was just something that he did. Don't know when it started or whatever, but what happened is that the press picked up on this and they said, that's what it means to be a Christian athlete. You got to show and wear your Christianity out on the field at all times. You got to act like a Christian. You got to do these weird kind of things like kneeling in the end zone, and that's what it means to be a Christian. And so they created this caricature that kneeling in the end zone is what Christians do, and it ended up destroying his career as an NFL athlete. I mean, it's a horrible thing, but I don't think God cared whether or not he kneeled in the end zone or not. I don't think God cares what any athlete does that's a Christian except for play the best football that you possibly can, or change the best diaper that you possibly can, or preach as good a sermon as God gives you, or whatever. Whatever God's called you to do, when you do it as good as you can, and you know that you're doing it for God, God will bless it. I would say far more important of any of these Christian athletes is what they do off the field. What's their character? How do they serve God outside of the public spotlight? That probably says vastly more important about anybody, including us. How do we serve God when we're out of the spotlight? How do we serve God when people don't see what's going on? How did Jesus serve God when people didn't even know what was going on, like when he went away to the mountain to pray? Your vocation is what you do that God works through you to serve humanity. And when we do that, it is not something that makes us right with God. We've already been made right with God because of the work that Jesus has done. It's just our response to say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? He tells us, because we're his children. In Jesus' name, amen.